This line is burning, turning to ashes. It hits the ear. Every step is a day in the week. It's a Sunday or Monday, March all the months of the year.
Welcome to Nosecast. Homilies delivered in the Holy Gnosis of Thomas Chapel, the Ecclesia Gnostica, in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Reverend Troy Pierce.
The day we celebrate Candlemas, which is the non-secular version of Groundhog Day. Ours doesn't include any cute fuzzy creatures or fuzzy creatures that just seem cute on TV. Today we bless the candles that will be used throughout the year in the chapel in our services. And it is a day that is a hearkening back to the solstice and also to Christmas. A hearkening back to the coming of the divine light. Today, it's hard to tell, but the days are getting longer. It's actually unseasonably warm here, and it reminds one that there is such a thing as spring and summer, but not necessarily in a good way. It makes you a little impatient for it. The intent for today is kindling light in the darkness. Their symbol is the candles. In the modern world, we are extraordinarily spoiled in a lot of ways. Fire is one of those ways. Often we don't need fire. Just turn on a light switch and you got light. If you need fire, the most primitive form most of us deal with is striking a match. But usually we can just kind of flip a lighter, or push a button or something, have fire. But for most of human history, this has been a skill that has required a bit of work. You don't just get fire like that. Tell that incredible invention of the match, not long ago, people had to carry about tinder boxes. And they had to strike sparks and kindle those. And it is a process that we don't normally do nowadays. Had the privilege of learning how to do this, and in a particularly well-developed way. This is at the end of striking your own sparks and kindling your own fire. So there were some things that people didn't always have involved. One thing, used a specialized striker, steel, against flint. You use this to transfer the energy of the strike to a very small bit of flint. And all of that energy going into that very small flint is what makes a spark, makes it very hot. Then you have to catch that spark somehow on something that will take that spark and transfer the energy from that spark yet again. And the way that I learned this later development way, you would catch the spark on a bit of charred cloth, essentially on charcoal cloth. And if you caught a significantly strong enough spark, you would then blow upon it. And then it might grow. And once you'd blown upon it a bit and got it to grow a bit, you'd fuel the fire, fuel the spark, with your breath, and with this carbon, this charred cloth. Then you could introduce the kindling, and this would be scraped bark. So it's a very involved process. You have to prepare for it. You have to have the right equipment. You then have to carry it out. And it doesn't always work the first time. Sometimes you have to try many times. You don't always catch the spark. You don't always strike a large enough spark. So when we speak of kindling a light in the darkness, speaking of doing something, is difficult. Not just pushing a button, flipping a switch. And furthermore, if you think about the conditions where most people would be striking a spark and trying to kindle a flame, this would be perhaps in the darkness or in twilight. Makes it even more fun, even more difficult. In our tradition, there's a long-held understanding of the human soul as containing the spark of the divine, the spark of the great light beyond our understanding and comprehension that is within us. Another metaphor for this is the seed of light. And this spark by itself is just a spark. It is just a potential for something larger. Within ourselves, we don't have to worry about striking a sufficient spark. It's there. But what to do with that spark? How to make it grow? To catch flame? To make a sufficient light for us to see in the darkness of the world, in the darkness of ourselves? That is the task we face. In this metaphor, there is the breath. And the breath is always associated with spirit. It is true in Hebrew, which is ruach. It is true in Greek, pneuma. These things mean spirit. And these are not just the sign of one is a being alive, one is breathing, but is a very deep mental image. The wind in the desert is seen as a spirit moving across the desert. This dynamic unseen force, this thing that comes suddenly out of nowhere, is a metaphor for the spirit, for the experience of the spirit, not so much for the idea of the spirit. We experience the spirit as often suddenly, perhaps overwhelmingly, blowing upon us, perhaps even very strongly, so that we might feel like we're going to be blown over, and yet we see nothing. And this spirit, this unseen quality that comes from, who knows, beyond our ken, is what is needed to bring that spark to life. But we also need something else. We need something like the charred cloth and the kindling. We need these things for that spark to catch fire on, to grow on. Charred cloth, something that the spark can set and cause it to grow, to become stronger and hotter so that it can catch the kindling on fire. And we also need kindling prepared to catch on fire. And once we have caught the kindling on fire, we pretty much can do what we want. We can light a larger fire, we can light a candle, we then have fire. Make use of that fire. We must be more than merely a passive spark. And also we must do more than merely wait upon the spirit to come. We must prepare. We must have a place in our lives and a place in ourselves that is sheltered from devastating winds and the elements of rain and so forth. You can't really kindle a fire in the middle of a rainstorm. It doesn't work too well. Snowstorms either. It's somehow antithetical to the whole starting a fire bit. You have to have a shelter from that which would just extinguish the flame. And you must have prepared a bed for that flame. A place for it to grow. A place for it to catch a light. And after it's caught a light, you must tend it. Have fuel for it, something for it to burn upon. Metaphor for today is a candle. It is something created specifically for retaining that fire and that light. It's made for providing light, not for providing cooking heat. There's some other purpose one can make with fire. As such, there are many different forms of candles. The ones we use, services, very long cylindrical kind. These are to provide that light. There must be something there fueling the fire. If we remove our ideas too far from the reality of our life, then we're going to fail in our spiritual quest. It's that simple. If we do not tend what is there within us, instead we think, all you need is this, all you need to do is that, then you're not tending the real flame. You're thinking about an idea of a flame or an ideal flame. You're too far away from what you really need to do. Think, well, you know, there's a candle burning somewhere, I don't have to do it. You're also merely thinking of an idea. In reality, there's a spark within us, but if it's going to be anything more than a spark, we're going to actually have to do things. We're going to have to change our lives. Make an effort to transform that spark into a flame. To put that flame in a place where it will illuminate us, where it will grow and glow. And that light is really precious. It is so easy to not keep it going in a way. I think we can always be conscious sometime later on, after this crisis, after this thing. Too busy right now for contemplation, for meditation, for consideration, or for learning. Too busy to apply this light to my life right now. I'll just wait. But that discontinuity, that breaking of the light, the blowing out of the candle, really sets us back in ways that it's hard to understand, hard to comprehend. The mirror continuing, though I say mirror, is much more than mirror. It is a growing. The other metaphor is the seed of light. The seed of light must grow. You can't just decide, well, seed sprouted, now I'm too busy to water it, let's let it die off, and then I'll do it again later. Plant the seed again later. But the seed is more than we are. It's more than we really control in our worldly self, that which we know ourselves to be for the most part. This is on the edges, perhaps even beyond that, although it is a part of who we are, indeed the truest part of who we are. So we must have a place for that spark to catch fire, to have a practice of some kind, not enough to think about it, to have the idea that it's there. You have to make space, you have to kindle it, to give it a chance. Otherwise, you're not going to get a fire, you're not going to get a light. And once you've given it a chance, you've made that space, you've got consciousness growing and glowing, and you need to keep at it. And this is a difficult task. All of it is very difficult. Seems easy. Well, of course I'm conscious. Of course I'm conscious of myself. But are you really? To what extent? No matter how far you are along in the path, there's a lot more you're not aware of. Although, looking from the outside, it can seem like you've grown your consciousness to cover huge bouts of things. Even looking back at your own life, think of how self-involved or how unconscious you were decades ago or years ago or whatever. There's still what's left. And where you're at right now, what's left is keeping you from progressing, from being who you truly are. Whatever you've accomplished in the past is in the past. You can take courage from that. You can accomplish great things, but there's still the work to be done now. Still what you must concentrate on now. And as you get further and further along, this requires actually more work, more attention, more time. If you're completely unaware of things and you suddenly become aware of a huge chunk of stuff, you've got 75% of your unconsciousness of your day-to-day life covered by having a transformative event, huge understanding, a growth spurt of consciousness. But that was pretty easy. That was like, you know, ankle-deep unconsciousness. Now it's time to wade in and go deep-sea diving. So do this truly. And this is the task of our lives. We must have some sort of a practice. must keep that candle burning, not let it go out, not have to start again. And it's hard. And sometimes we're going to let it go out. And when we do, the important thing, start it again, start going again, and try not to let that happen again. And if we are attentive, and those times become more and more infrequent, and the times when we are more conscious, are more aware, have some sort of practice, will become longer. Now, if we ever get to some perfect place where we're never going to let this slide, that's why human beings have created such things as religious orders and these very regimented ways of life so that they are aided in not letting this slide. And there's no real reason to think that we're somehow inherently better than people who have to work at this day after day all day. So, we probably are going to let things slide sometimes. Probably are going to be overwhelmed by complexes no matter how far along we go. The point is to keep trying, to keep going, to not allow the light to go out if we can at all avoid it. And when it goes out, we realize it as we've been overcome by unconsciousness, overcome by some complex or other. They get kindling again, light a new flame, get going again. If we are to accomplish much, if anything, in our lives, we must be the guardians of our own flame. We must tend it, guard it, allow it to grow. See what it is showing us, and not be afraid. Fear is a big enemy in this. We are afraid of what the light will show us. We are afraid of what consciousness will reveal. Particularly looking deep inside ourselves, we're afraid. Jung talks about this as being one of the big issues of our culture today. Is this fear of what we will find if we really look at what is not conscious. Because we have hidden it away for a reason. It may not be a good reason, but there was a reason. We didn't do this just for the heck of it. And we're afraid that that reason might be bad. Reason might be indicative of something truly wrong with us, or something we really cannot face. That's a pessimism we need not share. Gnostics are often proclaimed as being pessimists because we don't think the world is a paradise. Say we're just able to open our eyes and look around. And in Gnosticism there is deep optimism. A deep optimism for the individual human being. We're not going to make it an earthly paradise. The Gnostic view is not diluted in that regard. This place is what it is. It's got its qualities. It's good qualities, it's bad qualities. It's not paradise. Not the best we can hope for. And who we are also has good qualities, bad qualities. We can strive for the light, but there's also a tendency towards darkness, towards ignorance. But at the core, the Gnostic understanding, there is that spark of the divine, seed of light. And that is the ultimate optimism for each of us. That there is something that cannot be extinguished, something that cannot be lost, that no matter where we are at right now, we can grow that seed, we can kindle that spark, we can light a candle in the darkness and go forward. No matter how many setbacks we have, we can do this. We can always go forward. And when we hold that light up to ourselves, from the perspective of who we think we are, we might see a lot of horrible things. You know, we're humans. Humans are complex beasts. We have a lot of possibilities. Ingrained in our physiology, in our biology, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't really jive with who we would want to think of ourselves as being. We've got our instincts, our urges, our drives. All of these things. It doesn't come from culture. Reports of people from cultures that didn't have a word for war really have a concept of murder, and yet when recruited into a militia, they did what humans always do when they're placed in insane, extreme circumstances. They were able to carry out war and what may or may not legally be murder. These things are within us. We have to be aware of that. But in a way that is reaching down through the muck to find something else. Just as the lesson of a couple of weeks spoke of, even a pearl dropped in the muck does not lose its value. It's still a pearl. Reaching down through a lot of the layers being human, there is the light. There is a spark of the divine, a deep mystery within us. And we are the guardians, the tenders, and ultimately, we are that. No matter what we might think of it, it's not a simple thing. We encompass it, and we are it. And kindling that light, to shine in the darkness within ourselves and in the darkness of the world, we change ourselves. And we change the world. The gospel for today is from Thomas. The disciples ask, "Tell us where you are, for we must seek it." And Jesus says, "In a man of light, there is light. If it shines, it enlightens the world. It does not shine, the world is in darkness." Gnostic perspective, we don't burden God like a pack animal to take care of everything for us. We can't simply let go and let God and be done with things. The world without us is a rather dark place. It is we who bring consciousness to it. It is we who can transform it with that consciousness. We who bring that light to it can transform it with that light. It is not that we are blind, and the world is shining and full of light. The world is a mixed place, good, bad, light, darkness, and it is our consciousness that we must bring to it. And we don't realize what a true treasure and unique thing our consciousness is. Maybe we are the only ones in this unimaginably vast universe to be able to look and comprehend what is there. Matter that our bodies, their forms, much of what we know as ourselves has evolved here, takes its form from this place. Consciousness is always a mystery, always something that doesn't quite fit in. It isn't really an epiphenomenon of mind. It depends upon the brain. We know we can lose consciousness because of the brain. We also know we can lose life because of the loss of a vital organ. We lose our ability to move about. We lose our limbs. There is something great and mysterious. And that points us to that spark, that seed. Spark of the divine, seed of light. That which in us which we must kindle and grow. And bring forth that which we have a responsibility to kindle, to guard, to give fuel. The beginning of the gospel is also from Thomas. In it Jesus says, "I shall choose you, one from 1,000 and two from 10,000, and they shall stand as a single one." When we bring forth that light, when we give a place for that consciousness, and let it shine forth into the light. There is something unifying about it, something transcendent and ultimate about it. And it points to that which we are a part of, a spark of, a seed of, that ultimate light which we are connected to deeply, our deepest self. We stand as a single one. We stand together. Just as love is an aspect of the divine, so is that consciousness we bring. When we bring it into the world, we stand not just with those alive now who have brought consciousness into the world, but with all of those throughout human history who have stood and brought consciousness. All the messengers of the light, all the bearers of the light, all of them, we stand as a single one. We may always be few. At any given time, at any given place, this seems to be the case. But we stand with a mighty host always. For as much as we bring forth that light and enlighten the world, we stand with all those who have ever done that and whoever will do that. We bring forth the divine into the world. We bring forth our true nature into the world. There are many ways to be, many different ideas of ourselves, to take on this role or that role, this form or that form. But our true form is beyond form. It is always going to be a mystery in this world, just as God is always going to be a mystery. When we manifest that, we are a part of the great transcendent mystery that pervades all things and extends far beyond all we can know. So may we recognize that gift, spark within us, the light we have enkindled within us. Shine it in the darkness, unafraid. See what is there. It will not destroy us. We have nothing to fear. And ultimately join with all of those whom that light has not just been given, it has been received and given forth from. Become a part of those who enlighten the world. It is a difficult task. It is hard. It is the only task that is truly worthy of us, worthy of who we are. Bringing forth our consciousness, bringing forth our compassion, our love, our light, our divine nature into the world. To do that, we must transform. We must become that in ourselves to the extent that we can. But we can. May we follow the call, kindle the light, shine it in the darkness, and illumine the world. A mystery that hangs twixt heaven and earth. Send upon us, remain with us all. Amen. The Gnostic calendar features the liturgical year of the Ecclesia Gnostica and many additional holidays and dates of interest. With original artwork by a Gnostic priest, the Gnostic calendar is truly one of a kind. Get yours today at gnosis.org/calendar. That's gnosis.org/calendar.